Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I'm going to be speaking this morning from Daniel chapter 6. It's a very familiar story of Daniel in the lion's den. And I've entitled this message, Is Your God Able to Deliver You? Now, Daniel is under the reign of Darius at this time. He's going through his third king while he's been in the Babylonian captivity away from Israel. And we read in chapter 6 of Daniel, it pleased Darius, this king, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Now, he was the top man in the kingdom of Darius. And the scripture says that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Daniel was the top man. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, of course, all these other officials that Darius had put in place are going to be jealous of Daniel because Daniel is over the whole realm. Verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They were eaten up with jealousy. Things were the same then as they are now. People competing, vying for power and so on. But they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. He had a life above reproach before men. And would to God that you and I would have a life above reproach before men. Somebody says, is that possible? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It was with Daniel. He was such a faithful man that they couldn't find any reason to criticize him. Verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now they had seen in Daniel a disdain for the gods of the Medes and Persians. They had seen how he viewed their gods as idols, and they had watched him in his window bow toward Jerusalem 3 times a day, representing looking to Christ and praying to the God of Israel. And they thought, well, we can find something against him in his devotion to his God. So here's what they did. Verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, they fed on his vanity. They said, oh, we have such respect for you that we don't think anyone should ask anything from any god or man except for you for 30 full days. And if anybody asks of anything from any god or man, he'll be thrown into a den of lions unless he asks you. And they knew that Daniel wouldn't obey. They were setting him up. Verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which alters not. Now, this is very important. In their system of law, there were no amendments. You couldn't alter the law. You couldn't change it. Once the law was made, it had to be kept. It couldn't be altered. No loopholes. Verse 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. He was vain enough to sign a silly decree like that. Now, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house And his windows being opened in his own chamber, he looked toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. Now, Daniel knew about this law, but he did exactly as he'd done before. Not in ostentation, nor for a show, but he could not compromise. To fail to do exactly what he did before would be to compromise. Now, he could have said, well, I'll pray with the windows closed. You can pray just as easily with the windows closed as you can if they're open. He could have said, well, I'll go 30 days without praying. That doesn't mean I won't be saved anymore if I do that. I mean, after all, I've got a very responsible position here, and I can influence this culture and this society in so many ways with my position. I can try to infiltrate the principles of the Scripture into this culture as long as I'm here. But it'd be such a shame if I got thrown into that den of lions and I couldn't do those things anymore. Understand this. Ours is to obey God and leave the consequences in His hands. He knew he could not compromise, so with his windows open, knowing what it would cost him, knowing that because of this he would be thrown into a den of lions, he prayed toward Jerusalem every day, praying to God. Now, I read a message by a preacher from the last century on this passage of Scripture, and he said that Daniel was a real bigot here. A bigot is one who is totally attached to his particular creed, church, party, belief, and is intolerant of the opinions of others. And this is how Daniel was in his devotion to his God and his disdain for the religion of the Medes and the Persians. Now, this preacher told the story of where the word bigot comes from. There were several men in England being knighted, and in order to become a knight, you had to bow down and kiss the cross. And one man said, I won't do it. They said, you must. And he said, by God. And by that, he meant by God's help and by God's grace, I will not do it for any reason. And they called him a bigot. Would to God we had more bigots like that in this day in their devotion to the God of glory. I love to picture Daniel in my mind kneeling before his window toward Jerusalem, praying and giving thanks to the living God, knowing what it was going to cost him. He was going to be thrown into a den of lions. Now, verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication for his God. They had him set up. They got their desire. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which alters not. Yeah, that's the law. Then answered they. Now remember how the king had made Daniel the head man in his kingdom. He esteemed Daniel. He respected Daniel. He loved Daniel. He didn't know things were going to turn out like this. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. They rat on Daniel. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set on his heart on Daniel to deliver him. Oh, he had a dilemma. The law cannot be altered. It can't be changed. I've signed the decree. Anybody who asks a petition of any god except for me, he's going to be thrown into a den of lions. But I love Daniel. I don't want this to take place. I respect him. I esteem him. What am I going to do? And he starts looking for loopholes in the law. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed." The law cannot be changed. It cannot be altered, which pictures God's holy law. God's holy law cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. Now, verse 16, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel," he knew Daniel's devotion to his God, "and he said, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Now you think of this. He was lowered into a den of hungry lions with no defense. Somebody says, "This is just a story." Well, it is a story, but it really happened. It really happened. Daniel was lowered into a den of hungry lions. Now, verse 18, "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting." Oh, he was so upset over what took place. "Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice." Excuse me. "And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Now perhaps he didn't believe what he'd said formerly when he said, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, will deliver thee from the den of the lions." But Daniel is placed in a humanly impossible situation. He's brought into a den of hungry lions, and under no scenario could a man survive this except one scenario: God. God. Now I want to pause for a moment. Think of Darius's question to Daniel: "Is thy God, whom thou servest, able to deliver thee?" And I want to ask myself, and I want to ask you that question: is your God — now you have a God, you have a God of some kind — is your God able to deliver you? Is the God you serve able to deliver you? Now, Isaiah warned us about praying unto a God that cannot save. And you know, the view that most people have of God is a God really that cannot save, that can't save unless we let Him. He wants to save us, but He can't unless we do something to enable Him to do it. Now, let me tell you something about that God. That God won't do you any good. That's a false God. That's an idol. That God can't save anybody. Is your God able to deliver you? First, is your God able to deliver you from a law that cannot be altered? Now, God's holy law cannot be altered. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. That's the teaching of Scripture. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Do you have sin? I do. I've sinned. Now, can my God deliver me from a law that cannot be altered? The soul that sins shall surely die. God said, "I by no means, under no circumstances, clear the guilty." Can your God deliver you from a broken law that you've broken that cannot be altered? Now, my God can. My God can deliver me even though in myself I am a lawbreaker. My God can make it to where I stand before that law without guilt. My God can make it to where I stand before the Ten Commandments. I can go into the very presence of a thrice holy God and He can look me over and find nothing to condemn me for. That's what the gospel does. You see, my law breaking, my sin, God took my sin, and only God can do this. This is very important. Only God can do this. I remember one time there was a preacher being interviewed, and he'd been caught in some kind of moral scandal. And they were asking him about it, and he said, "Well, I've put that sin under the blood." And I thought, so you have the authority to do something like that? I can't put my sin under the blood. Only God can do that. Now, God has the authority, because He's God, to take my law-breaking and place it upon His Son to where He becomes guilty of it. And to take His perfect obedience, His perfect righteousness, and place it on me to where His righteousness is my righteousness. It's what the Bible calls justification. I love to think of that man, the publican in the temple, beating on his breast, crying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And the Lord says concerning that man, "I tell you, that man went down to his house justified. Not forgiven, although he was. Not pardoned, although he was. Not redeemed, although he was. But he went down to his house justified, without guilt, perfect before God." Now, can your God deliver you from an offended law? A law that you've broken where it doesn't know anything of altering. It can't be altered. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. My God made it to where I never sinned. I stand perfect before that law, and that's what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ does. Now, here's another den of lions. My evil nature. I've talked about a law that I cannot keep. But what about my evil nature? Because I have an evil nature. A sinful, evil nature that I can't live. I can't believe. I can't repent. I can't love. I can't do what God says to do. John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." I've got a totally depraved and evil nature. Now, that being said, can God deliver me from that sinful nature of mine? Yes, He can. He does that by giving me a new nature. That's what happens in the new birth. I'm given a nature that does believe, that does repent, that does love God, that does believe the gospel. Yes, my God is able to deliver me from my own sinful, evil nature by giving me a brand new heart that was not there before. Now, here's a third den of lions. The Lord's given me this new nature that makes me believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe that He's my justification before God. But I still have this sinful, evil nature. It's with me every second. And I'm faced with 1,000 temptations from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Is my God able to keep me? Jude said, "Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before His throne with exceeding joy." Yes, my God is able to deliver me. Let me bring you to another scene. I'm going to die. Graveyard dead. Dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. Can God deliver you from that? Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed in victory. Yes, my God can deliver me from that and raise me up to be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. Now here's another scene. My name is called on judgment day. How am I going to fare? Can your God deliver you? Well, listen to this scripture. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, what did he mean by that? We'll go up a couple of verses. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. Then he also did predestinate that they might to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now what shall we then say to these things? What shall we say to the fact that he foreknew us? Talking about every believer. He called us. He justified us. He glorified us. He predestined. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not? What could possibly prevent him from freely giving us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God justified them. Who is he that can condemn? When I'm made to stand before God in judgment, who is he that can condemn? Come on, bring it on. Who can condemn me? It's Christ that died. That's the only answer I have to have. It's Christ that died. That's enough. That makes me just before God. That makes me accepted by God. Yea, rather, that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, Darius gives a lamentable cry. Is thy God able to deliver thee from the lions? And then he hears from that den, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths. And that angel is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, he was with Daniel in the lion's den. And he shut the mouths of the lions that they'd not hurt me, for as much as before him, before God, innocency, purity, spotlessness was found in me. Now, how's that? What in the world? Daniel says he stopped the mouth of those lions because innocency, purity, no guilt was found in me. Now, if you go on reading in Daniel chapter 9 and read Daniel's prayer, he makes such confession of sin. He says, if we've sinned, we've done iniquity. He talks about the wickedness of himself. He said, when I saw thee, my comeliness turned to corruption. I'm a sinful man in and of myself. He believed that, yet he says to Darius, innocency was found in me. Well, how could that be? Now, here's what the gospel does. The gospel makes it to where I'm innocent, not guilty. The blood of Christ removes my sin to where I have no sin. Scripture says he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Now that's innocence, isn't it? He has no sin. Everybody in him has no sin. And Daniel says innocency is found in me. And that is true of every believer because of the blood of Christ. And he said, O king, to thee I've done no hurt. Verse 23, then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed his God. You know, when Daniel was lowered into that den, he didn't know for sure whether the Lord would deliver him. But he knew that if he wanted to, he would. If it was his will, he would. But he believed his God, and he was going to leave all the consequences in God's hands. He was going to pray no matter what, with the windows open. He believed his God. He knew the Lord would take care of him. And so when they lowered him down, he was believing his God, whether he was eaten by the lions or not. And the Lord Jesus Christ shut the lion's mouth. Verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, with their children, with their wives, and the lions had the master of them, and break all their bones in pieces, wherever they came, at the bottom of the den. Now this is what happens to the man without Christ. Then King Darius, after he had witnessed all this, wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. All other gods are false gods. And he is steadfast forever. Only he is stable. He's eternal. He's immutable. He cannot change. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. And his dominion, his sovereignty, shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Oh, what a glorious God he is. Is your God able to deliver you from a law that can't be altered, from a sinful nature that can't do good? There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Is your God able to deliver you and preserve you? Is your God able to make you perfect on judgment day? Is your God able to raise you from the dead? Now, everybody that believes the God Daniel believed, yes, he is able to deliver. May the Lord enable each one of us to look to Daniel's God, the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have this message on cassette tape, on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Neibert, praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.